So we have wrapped up our study of the book of James, and today we're moving in a slightly different direction. I want to acknowledge that because it has usually been my practice to present fairly verse-by-verse studies of God's Word, and today we're going to do something slightly different. We'll get back to that style of preaching in a couple weeks, and I want to acknowledge that, especially if you're visiting with us here today, that that is our normal practice, even if today looks a little different. One of the things I want to acknowledge is that it seems like society has a raised level or sense of disruption and chaos. It feels like things are less settled than they were a short bit ago. I didn't get a chance to watch the hockey game last night, but I certainly heard the boos on my internet feeds this morning. It feels like some of the things that we used to have confidence in have decreased. And we notice that in a lot of ways in our society. We would say that the trust that we have in our government perhaps has decreased. The trust that many have in professionals like myself, like pastors and police forces and others, has decreased. The trust that we have in our judicial system and our media have decreased. And out of all of that, we have this uneasiness about us. And today what I want to start by acknowledging is that there are things that this church has done for 124 years now. And we will continue to do those things into the future. And I want to acknowledge the goodness of God, as we've already heard from the pulpit this morning, and that we will continue to preach and proclaim who He is and what He's done for us well into the future as long as we are able. Our text today is 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 to 10. And from it, we are going to talk a little bit about what the early church held at their core, what they believed were the most important of things. A couple weekends ago, we met with the board and began to have conversations about what 2025 may have in store for us as a church. One of the things we did before that was invite you to be a part of that conversation, to begin to pray in your own hearts what God may have for us, and to begin to ponder what your role may be in that. I'd ask today that those conversations would continue, that you'd continue to think about what you see God doing in our community and how we as a church can be a part of that. But let's first look at what Paul says the early church was about. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 to 10. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, although some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. And last of all, He appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. In reading that description, the first thing I have to ask is that what we are about as well? Are we as a church about the things that Paul describes in this text? Are we a place of grace? Are we a place of forgiveness? Are we a place where the gospel is preached and presented time and time again? Where people are welcomed into community and into fellowship? Are we living out this text? I'm going to spend some of my time today presenting a bit of history about this place, at least as I know it to be true. Most of it I read in our church logs, partly from a document that was put together for our 100-year anniversary that outlines how we got to this place as a church. And I think rightfully so, that document begins by describing our journey not here in Camrose, but where most of the people that started this church came from. And that's from Russia. We were started by a group of immigrants that began their journey into Russia. They were German immigrants to the Russian nation. And in the 1760s, how many of you love history? Oh, good, I won't be the only one. Because I love this stuff. I think this is really good stuff, but I know it's not everybody's thing. So take a short nap if it's not your thing. Come back in 5 minutes, and we'll be through the history part of this lesson. But in 1760s, Catherine the Great invites Germans to settle in the mountains of the Volga, in Volhynia, which was in Russia and now is part of Ukraine and part of Poland and kind of part of Russia all along that border. They came because Katharina offered them freedoms of land ownership and freedoms to worship that they didn't have in their home country and were often not granted to foreigners. And so they came and began to farm the land. There were certainly motivations on all sides for this. There was political things going on, as there often is. The land was hard to break, and Germans were industrious and knew how to do it well. And so they came and began farming. My great-grandparents were part of that group as well that ended up in that part of Russia. In 1860, they first baptized Germans in Russia. This was the beginning of the German Baptist Church. 17 years later, there were 12,000 baptized members of the Union of Baptist Churches in Russia. 12,000 in 17 years. Can we see this connection to what Paul described already? Those early believers, those early Baptists believed that preaching the Word of God was important. They believed that telling other people about Jesus' death and resurrection was important. They believed that signifying that in baptism, which is a symbolic way of representing being dead to our sins and alive in Christ, was important. They had these same ideals as Paul describes. And eventually, that heart for evangelism, that desire to tell others about who Jesus was, extended to their Russian neighbors as well. And their Russian friends began to become converts to Christianity. At the time, it was illegal to baptize Russian people. The Orthodox Church had control of the area. They practiced infant baptism, and to baptize adults in 1870s was illegal in that part of Russia. But in 1871, they did so anyway. And it caused them to be removed from the special privileges that they were receiving before that time. These were rescinded, and an intense Russification program began in 1872. And this caused many Germans to flee. Some of those Germans came to Canada. Some came to the U.S. My relatives fled first to Prussia, then to East Germany, and then here. They took a little bit roundabout way, and none of that went well for them, which is why they came here to worship freely. But some of the ancestors of this church came directly from that part of Russia or indirectly through the U.S. here to the Camrose and Bittern Lake area. And so in 1901, a group of people founded Bittern Lake Baptist Church. I'm going to read a list of names here, and I'm going to ask at the end if anyone's connected to these people, because I'm curious if there's still some descendants of these people here. The Weisers, the Links, the Jasmines, the Schmidtkes, the Dites, and I don't know if it's Young Heights or Jung Heights. Does anyone? It starts with a J, and I don't know how I'm supposed to do that, so I'm going to say Jung Heights. Anybody here have connection to those families? No. Well, there is one. Excellent. A couple? Fantastic. These were the people that founded this church, and they did so out in Bittern Lake as a Baptist church. They held prayer meetings, and they had Sunday school. They met for worship at Eastern Bittern Lake Schoolhouse until they built their first building and dedicated it in 1907. In 1915, they changed the name to German Baptist Church, then again in 1940 to Bethany Baptist, then Fellowship Baptist when the congregation moved to Camrose, and eventually it became Century Meadows Baptist Church. From 1914 to 1924, they realized that some were traveling too far to get to church. And so they started a sister congregation in Forsberg and supported it as it went along its way. Again, that heart for telling other people of Jesus and to founding churches and to having places where they could worship, that we see in Corinthians was present in that group of people as they spread the word of God and baptized those who came to faith and engaged in ministry. I shared with you once already from the pulpit that when I got here, I was surprised to see a picture on the wall in the foyer of in the list of Baptist ministers that have served this congregation, because it was my great-grandfather, and I didn't know that he worked here. But my great-grandfather was Reverend Albert Couillot, and from 1929 to 1933, he served a three-point parish that involved Calgary Baptist Church. I don't know how they grouped these together. Calgary Baptist Church, Bittern Lake Baptist Church, and Forsberg. And so they would travel and preach at those three locations through the week. So we're 124 years later. And the question comes to us, what do we carry on from those that started Century Meadows Baptist Church? There's lots of things that haven't been passed down. The names changed multiple times. The pastors changed almost two or three years, every two or three years at the beginning. The location even has changed. We're not in Bittern Lake anymore. I suspect you knew that already. And we switched buildings a half dozen times. What holds us in common? What do we share with those ancestors that came before us? I think it's that list that is shared in 1 Corinthians 15 and the practices that come from it. We meet on Sunday mornings for worship and for prayer, just as our early ancestors in this church did, and just as Paul called the people to that he served. We teach and discuss the scriptures, and we'll continue to do that. We will pass those lessons on to our youth and to our children. When you read about those early days, Sunday school was super important to them. And I think it's because they were crazy enough to have more than four kids. And so they needed Sunday school to take care of them, to have a little break, to spend some time away. Is my wife nodding yet? Because this resonates with us. Sunday school and youth were extremely important to them, and they are to us as well. The idea of passing our faith on to the next generation is important to us and is a value we hold in common both with those who founded this church and with the Apostle Paul in the early church. We worship, we pray, we teach, we discuss the scriptures, and we will tell others about who Jesus is, regardless of the cost. The earlier church understood this far better than we do. They knew there would be a cost to sharing the gospel, and they did it anyway. When you read through scripture, they expected persecution. That was just part of life for them, was when I serve and follow Jesus, there will be a cost. Our church ancestors in Russia knew the cost and followed through on what they believed their faith was calling them to anyway. And like them, we will baptize believers, telling the story of how we have been saved from death and raised to life. In all of these ways, we will do what those who have come before us have done, and will continue to do them here in this place. But my hope and my prayer is that while continuing to do those things, we will do new things as well. And so I invite you to wonder, along with the board and with others, what God has in store for us next. I invite you to wonder along with us, how will God use this people to further his kingdom? How can this facility be better used through the week to be a meeting place for spiritual conversations? What are we together being called to do? I worked for a very similar group with a very similar history in northern Manitoba for a short bit. And one of the beautiful things that they were involved in was ministry to refugees. They lived in a community of 200 people in the middle of nowhere in northern Manitoba. And they were these staunch, old-school German people. I mean, when you look at the pictures in our directory of old, they look like that still. And yet their heart was for a group of East Indian immigrants in the city of Winnipeg. When you'd talk to them about what they were passionate about, they said, "I want those people to meet Jesus when they get here like we did." Many of them remembered when they came to Canada in the 1910s that the denomination had sent a representative to the train to meet them. And that person would take them to the office to get them their land and their animals, that then they would drive up to the, by drive I mean move animals, up into northern Manitoba to start their homestead. They remember how difficult it was in those early years as immigrants. And they helped each other out through that process. And they wanted to pass that blessing on to the next generation of newcomers to Canada. And in the midst of that, share Christian fellowship and brotherhood with them. And it was a beautiful thing, something I was not expecting in the least. I want to say this, I don't know what God has in store for us here in the next years. I'm hopeful that there's some big thing that he wants to do here. And I've seen him work that way in the past. I've seen him weave ideas of passion into ideas of action. I've seen him bring people out of the woodwork that are unexpected to be a part of something that he's doing. And I've seen him use his church to greet and welcome people into the kingdom of God. And it's a beautiful thing that I want us to be a part of as well. So let's get back to our text for a moment. And I want to highlight a couple of things directly that I've kind of alluded to in the conversation. But I want to look specifically at verse 1 and 2 and then verse 9 and 10. Verse 1 and 2, Paul says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you have received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly onto the word I preached you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain." The proclamation of the word was central to the early church. It was one of the most important things that they did. And if our church is to thrive, we will continue to talk about the grace and the mercy of Christ. We will continue to call those who have made Jesus their Lord and Savior to live lives that acknowledge him as well. And we will tell new people of the love of Christ and of his gift of salvation. Certainly was central to the early church, was central to our ancestors, and it needs to be what we are about today. Whatever we go about and however we do that can be new and different, but that will be at the core of what we do. Second thing I want to acknowledge that was at the core for the early church is in verse 9 and 10. "For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me." The early church was a place of forgiveness. Can you imagine welcoming Paul back into that fellowship? Or into that fellowship for the first time? This was a man who oversaw not just the persecution of the church, but the execution of Christians. I always find it amazing when people come to me and talk about the things that they've done and how they think they're too far from God to be forgiven, that they've just crossed too many lines. You know, the most prominent leader in the Church of God in history killed Christians before he became a servant of God. It's good that we remind each other of that, that he was restored and was given a place of honor. And he did so thinking that he was serving and honoring God. He did so for religious purpose. And yet his heart was so far from God and he hadn't met Jesus yet. There is nothing that you have done or can do that is beyond forgiveness. The only thing that deserves separation from God is denying who Christ was. Not receiving the gift that he's offered. So we see this story of forgiveness. We see a story of proclamation. We see a story of grace and mercy for those in their midst. And if these things are not present at CMBC, not only will we fail at our mission, but we will cease to be the church. Or as Paul puts it, our belief will be in vain. We need to be a place where grace is offered and received, where sin is dealt with and addressed, and where new life can be experienced by those who have faltered or fallen. So today, what I want to remind you is that we are producing history right now. And the question I have for you is, what will the Christians in 50 years read about CMBC and their faithfulness to the message of Christ? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, God, I do pray that you would continue to give vision to this group of people. That you would help us to understand what you have in store for us in the years ahead. And Lord, in the midst of that, may we be ever obedient to you. That we could echo Paul's words that it was not I, but you that did this great and miraculous thing. So Lord, may our ears be attuned to your Spirit. May we hear where you're moving and see what you're doing. And may we be blessed by being a part of your kingdom here on earth. In your name we pray. Amen. Call on the worship team to come lead us once again.
Please stand with us for the closing song.
We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. O Lord, we cast down our idols. So give us clean hands, give us
of benediction are from the book of 2 Thessalonians. And now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Go in peace. Mm-hmm.